Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us at milehighsports.com. You can reach us. Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, I want to tell you about Hot Tub Outlet in Littleton. They have warehouses filled with hot tubs, 15 different models, truckloads coming in every month. Why am I telling you this? You know, the supply chains have broken down in the U.S., right? And it's hard to get hot tubs in this country. More or less in Colorado. Hot Tub Outlet has them. Don't wait a day on getting a hot tub. You can get one right now. Don't wait 6 months or possibly even longer. You want a hot tub? You can get it right now at Hot Tub Outlet in Littleton or go to hottuboutletdenver.com.
I could use a hot tub right now. I could really use a relaxing soak. We're getting into that time of year, right, where it's cooling down. That hot tub. You want it to be outside?
Yeah.
That's, you know, pretty awesome.
It is. I couldn't agree with you more. Time now for The Lead.
The Lead is presented by Marco's Pizza in Aurora, where everything is fresh, never frozen, like the dough and sauces to go with hand-cut meats and veggies. Order today at either location off Smoky Hill Road or Quincy in Aurora.
Okay, Mace, Pat Shurmur had some interesting things to say at the press conference. Usually, we're talking about what the head coach is saying. I think the reason why we're talking about Pat Shurmur in his press conference is because he has come under a lot of heat, specifically how the team has started each game.
We got a young offense. I was told today it's the third youngest offense, and we got some growing pains that we're going through, but we're playing better in a lot of areas. There's just some areas we got to continue to get better at. You know, we speak to the third downs because they're somewhere longer, but we're 8 for 9 on fourth down. Maybe that's what we do. Get close and go for it on fourth down. That still keeps drives alive. So, you know, there's, you know, when you're working with young players and a lot of new players, you just got to keep grinding and keep being very positive. You know, we're a last play from tying the game possibly with a 2-point play. So we just got to keep grinding. And that's the message.
I'd like to know how the other young offenses are doing, because he basically blamed the youth of the offense for their struggles.
Okay. Okay, let's look at the youth of this offense. Okay? Cortland Sutton is not young. Jerry Judy is not playing, right? Hamler is not playing. I'm sorry, but I don't consider Noah Fant young anymore.
Third-year guy. Cortland and Tim are fourth-year guys.
That's
They're
right.
not young.
Teddy Bridgewater, he's a veteran.
Eighth-year guy.
Bowles is a veteran.
Fifth-year.
Reisner, third-year. Cushenberry, you got me there. Glasgow, no. Bobby Massey has probably more experience than anybody in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm with you on Javonte Williams, not Melvin Gordon. What am I missing? Alperen Okwuegbunam? Sure.
Seems like a lot of the youth is rotational.
I'll tell you this.
The running back 1A, the tight end 2, the, you know, Kendall Hinton is out there getting a lot of reps, but he's basically the fifth wide receiver who's kind of pressed
in. And he's in there because of injuries.
Right. Netani Muti getting in because of injuries. But that lineup that they had out there in Pittsburgh last Sunday, that wasn't a young lineup.
I want to take you inside the walls of Dove Valley. You have lived inside those walls working for the Broncos all those years.
Literally, I spent a couple of nights there during snowstorms.
You know what goes on in there with the PR staff as well as I do. This is what they do. And to their credit, this is what they do. When a guy is speaking to the media, and again, to the credit of the media PR staff, they anticipate questions that a guy is going to get, and they give that guy information. So he has something to say at the press conference. I have very little doubt, and I say it for this reason, because Shurmur admitted today he doesn't really go on the internet that much. He's not really a social media guy. He doesn't really go on Google, right? He's not really a Google guy. I can't imagine he knew off the top of his head that The Broncos had the third youngest offense in the league. I'm sure a Broncos PR media guy or gal told him that, so he had something to say. And while the information is accurate, it sounds like an excuse. Good information.
Yes.
Bad timing to put it out there.
And I'd like to know their methodology because, for example, I believe overthecap.com did a did something similar at the start of the season and said, okay, who has the youngest offenses, youngest defenses? Broncos came in, I believe, eighth youngest on offense, which is young-ish, but it's not third youngest. So again, some of it's probably an adjustment based on the players that have played over the course of the season. But I am curious to see who teams one and two works. I know going into the season, based on Over the Cap, the youngest offense was the Vikings.
Well, they have a veteran quarterback.
Exactly. Too. Veteran quarterback, young offensive
line. So are the
Broncos.
Yeah. Okay, now, let's talk about the way Pat Shurmur's teams have started since he has gotten here. It's a sample size of 21 games. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you came up with the numbers, so I will let you rattle them off.
Yes. The Broncos have been an incredibly poor starting team.
Impotent.
In the last two seasons, 21 games, no team has fewer touchdowns on the first three drives of a game than the Denver Broncos, just 6 on 63 total possessions, which includes no touchdowns in their opening possessions. That streak goes back to the Rich Gangarello era. But they are the only team in the NFL in the last two seasons that has not scored at least one touchdown on their first series.
And you know what bothers me about that? Those are scripted plays.
Yes. And by the way, but here's the thing, like with the script, sometimes you have to have a little flexibility. Like remember on Sunday, you started the script with a delay of game. Let's put it this way. I don't think the delay of the game was in the script.
It wasn't?
But you can't have a delay. You know, you don't want delay of games. There is no excuse for the delay, a delay of game at the start of a possession. None whatsoever. Okay, that's a complete foul up. First and 15, they ran. Second and 14, they ran.
Let me ask you, do you think, because probably the first, I don't know, 12 to 15 plays are scripted.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think coaches, I don't know the answer to this, do you think coaches go off script in those first 15 plays?
They have some flexibility to go off script.
No, they have, for the offensive like, coordinator, yeah, they go, have all the flexibility.
Yeah, they go, it's not like we say, we know on the third play we're calling this.
Yeah.
Because if the third, because sometimes the third play is first and 10, and sometimes it's third and 12, okay? So the script, it's not rigid to say we are running play X on our sixth snap. You're not, it's not like that. There is some wiggle room there, which is why when they came out and ran twice when they were sitting there in first and 15, I was a little bit surprised by that because the one thing that we have seen Teddy Bridgewater be able to do consistently is get you 6 yards in a hurry when he goes back to throw. He's an accurate passer, especially short to intermediate. If the Broncos actually want to stay on schedule, their best bet time and again, even though you want to establish the running need to run, but if you're saying, okay, we got to get this thing on schedule quickly, the thing that has usually worked for them is if you've got second and long yardage, getting 6 to 8 yards with Teddy on a quick slant to right. Sutton or Patrick.
By the way, you asked Vic Fangio if the slow starts are symptoms of greater issues with the Broncos. He was very succinct in his answer,
yeah.
And he said no.
I disagree.
Coming up after the break, Mike Pritchard joins us from Las Vegas. He covers the Raiders out there. Wonder what we're going to talk to him about. That's next.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea with a rollicking song.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products, Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you'd like wholesale lumber to the public, not retail, but wholesale, go to RMFP.com. In the meantime, I want to tell you about Greenfields Pool and Sports Bar. Man, do they have it all in Lakewood. Let's talk about sports. They have all the packages, NFL, NHL, NBA, Major League Baseball. Every seat is a great seat. Now, what else do they have? A huge pool hall with 15 tables, live music on the weekends, no cover, and the happy hour is as good as you are going to get. Every day of the week, 2-for-1, wine, well, and drafts, every single day from 3 until 7. I've never been to a sports bar like this that truly has it all. Go to Greenfields Pool and Bar in Lakewood. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Rocky Mountain Eurosport. Go for a test drive today in Denver or Parker because everyone deserves a luxury car buying experience. Or find them online at rmeurosport.com.
I have a feeling I'm going to be spending this entire segment talking about Mike Pritchard's resume. Let's see if I can get this correct. This is off the top of my head. We were partners for a while. 13th overall pick in the NFL draft. Won a national championship with Colorado. Terrific NFL player. Used to host the radio show here with me on Mile High Sports Radio. Now he hosts a show on VSiN, which is the gambling network, and he does a local sports talk show in Vegas. And he is just an all-around marginal guy. Pritch, how are you?
I was good until the last comment.
Okay.
Marginal.
You're an all-around fantastic guy.
There you go. I'm good. How you guys doing?
Terrific. We are doing far better than the Raiders organization. I have heard something big happen this week. I haven't been following it. What's going on?
Well, their head coach, John Gruden, got himself into a little bit of trouble and with the league and with a lot of people.
Yep.
And he stepped down as a head coach. So right now they have an interim head coach entering the most important game of the year so far for the Raiders.
With that, how do you feel the Raiders organization has handled this as a whole, and how do you think this is affecting them, especially heading into what you say is the most important game of the year?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't timely, that's for sure. But I think Mark Davis, the owner, had no other choice. I mean, the behavior from John Gruden, reprehensible. I mean, it was so offensive in so many ways, and he insulted a lot of people within the league that have power influence. And I think when you do that and you understand how the league works, it was no surprise of the result. But I think the Raiders are left with picking up the pieces and figuring out how do they salvage the rest of the year.
Now, last week, of course, this was swirling over the course of the weekend because the first comments we were aware of course, were the comments, the derogatory comments about DeMaurice Smith, the NFL PA head, that were racially tinged. And then, of course, the Raiders did play a game with that cloud over them. So do you think all that affected the team last Sunday? Because that really just seemed to be a pretty desultory effort compared to what you're used to seeing from this Raiders team.
Yeah, I think it did. Lack of focus on one side of the ball in particular, that's the offense, and that's the side of the ball that Coach Gruden controlled. You saw drop balls. You saw a lack of focus. You didn't see a lot of energy out there either. One of the things that I know from my playing days is, you know, coaches, they say things to teams thinking it's private, right? And so I don't know if that took place or not. I've been trying to follow up with people to figure out if they had some type of meeting in which Coach Gruden laid everything on the table and said, hey, this is what's happening. And so now you're, as grown men, you got a chance to think about it. And then you play a game, okay, and then everything else keeps happening. So I don't know. I do know Coach Gruden had the apologies publicly. That was not received well from the league. because the league wanted to see this man gone, and the league got what they wanted. And so now, as players, the players got to maintain the focus if they can, and see if they can win a football game. Like I said, the most important game of the year so far for this football team.
We are talking with Mike Pritchard, won a national championship with CU. He used to host a radio sports talk show with me. Now he does a show on VSiN. And Pritch, obviously, doing a show with me is very high on your resume, I'm sure.
It is. It's right up there with the CU Hall of Fame and Southern Nevada Hall of Fame.
Stop it.
I just had to pad my resume a little bit more after there we the go. Marginal comment.
Right, exactly. The Broncos situation, kind of similar, I guess you could say, to the Raiders situation in this vein. Vic Fangio is the defensive coordinator, even though Ed Donatell officially has the title. In Vegas, Gruden was the offensive coordinator, even though he didn't hold that title, but he was the guy calling the plays. How big of a loss is him not calling the plays, or do you feel the guy they have there might even be potentially better?
Well, we don't know if the guy that they have here is potentially better. I mean, if he was, I think he would have been calling the plays, to be honest with you. But Coach Gruden, the coach, not the person, the coach, he was a great play caller. There's no denying that. I mean, even though the league is trying to erase themselves from Coach Gruden, separate themselves, but, I mean, the guy made his mark in this league playing calling plays. So I think when you miss that or that's gone now, I don't know how you operate other than just in a few days, too, by the way. Other than the fact that, okay, do you condense a playbook or do you just do the things that you know you can do very, very well? And to be honest with you, the offense this year has sputtered at times. I mean, they started out the year with a 3-0 run in spectacular fashion, but the last two games, it just doesn't seem like the Raiders that we saw at the beginning of the year. So they're working on some things. They're tinkering with the offensive line and seeing if they can get the offense back in gear, because if they don't, they're in trouble. I mean, the defense has been keeping them in games, but the offense just not scoring enough points the last 2 weeks.
Boy, where have I heard that before, Mace?
This is going to be fun.
Yeah. All, and the final
are
score
we all,
is...
Are we all ready for 10-7?
Exactly.
All right.
Maybe. Yeah. Right.
You might be right there. Now, that being said,
I think it'd be more appropriate if it was 7-11.
Oh, well, getting 11 is pretty rare. That'd be a fun score, but yes. So, Rich Bisacci is going to be the interim head coach of the Raiders, either special teams coordinator, been around the NFL a long time. What do you expect from him as the head coach, and do you think he has a chance to turn this into a permanent gig?
Does he have a chance? I don't know. I mean, it sounds good, right, that this guy could have success and, you know, maybe the Raiders get to the playoffs and he's a head coach. But we are thinking of, you know, one of the brand-new stadiums in the National Football League, the Allegiant Stadium. The draft is going to be here, and this is a global city, speaking of Las Vegas, you know, and I think you have to have a splash, I would imagine. Now, he's a guy that's been around the league, like you said, Mace, for a while. As a special teams coach, assistant head coach, you interact with all the players more so than, like, if Rod Marinelli would have been the interim head coach. He just interacts with the D-line. Mm-hmm. And so as a special teams coach, you're interacting with the majority of the roster. And so you probably know the fellas a little bit better than everybody else in terms of coaching and just manage the coaches. You got Gus Bradley, who used to be a head coach as a defense coordinator. Let him do his thing defensively. And then Greg Olsen, the offensive coordinator, hopefully they could pick up the pieces offensively with Tom Cable as offensive line coach. He used to be a head coach as well. Maybe they can come together and make things work. So just manage everything as a head coach, interim head coach, if you're Rich Bisaccia.
You certainly dealt with adversity during your pro career, not personally, but certainly with any of the teams that you were with. All teams at some point deal with adversity. Not necessarily, you know, your head coach sending out racist, misogynistic, homophobic emails, adversity, but some type of adversity. Using your experience as a former player, and clearly you are speculating on this, but what is your best guess? the Raiders come out and rally and are inspired, or they're completely vulnerable?
I think they come out and try to punch the Broncos in the mouth and see what happens. I think you come out and the field is your sanctuary where you kind of forget what just happened. During the week, you forget about the media asking you questions, and you just go out there and put on a helmet and play football. But if everything doesn't go right, you wonder where the organization is going to come from. You wonder where the calm nature or the confidence is going to come from. Is Rich Bisaccia ready for that? You know, or you know, are the players ready to collect themselves from whomever, or is it everybody for themselves? So once adversity hits during a football game, you wonder from a management standpoint where the leadership's going to come from. So that's where I'm so uncertain about where the Raiders are at right now. I mean, I think they're going to have a good game plan. I think they're going to go into the game ready to play and focus. But when it doesn't go well and everything looks bleak at times, which it will during the course of a 60-minute football game, what's going to happen after that?
And, of course, if part of that game plan is going to be implemented by their play caller. That's Greg Olsen, who's replacing John Gruden. What do you expect to see from Olsen replacing Gruden, and is it going to be a major change or about what we have seen from John Gruden before?
Yeah, I don't expect him to make major changes because, you know, it's a couple of days, and I don't know if you can overhaul it and make major changes. I think you try to build off of what has been successful. And if you look in the first three games, the Raiders were stretching the field and throwing the ball all over the field, all over the yard, really. And Derek Carr was off to an amazing start at quarterback. But the Raiders felt like they needed to try to control the game and run a football. But that hasn't worked yet. It has not materialized. And I just don't know when that's going to happen or if it happens. But this is a passing league now. It's basically a 7-on-7 league. So I would expect the Raiders to go out there and let Derek Carr throw the football.
If I was ever a guest on your show, what I'm about to ask you, you could easily ask me, but I'm going to ask you instead because
are you inviting yourself on my show?
No. That's not what I meant. Okay. That's not what I meant. I would never invite myself. I have way too much dignity to join any show that you are on. With that, big picture, how do you feel about the Raiders over the next 5 years, knowing that Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert is in your division? Because you could very easily ask me the same question.
Yeah, you see that, Mace? Like, he insults me, and now he wants me to answer a question.
You know what?
I mean, come on.
That wedding invitation has not been mailed yet.
I noticed that. Is anybody going to show up?
I don't know, Mace. You coming or no?
I think so.
You know what? Don't come. We'll invite other friends. I don't have any, but you know what we're going to do? Because I know the two of you are not going to show up. I'm going to do what they did in baseball. I'm going to have cardboard cutouts of people that I know just to sit there.
And I thought you were going to sit us at the same table.
But none of us are. But then again, the cardboard cutouts aren't going to drink, so it's going to save us on the bar bill.
Right.
So getting back. Okay. How do you feel about having those two guys, you know what, in our division? Because that's what it is.
Well, it's weird because, I mean, the Broncos could have drafted Justin Fields. I mean, the Broncos could have drafted Josh Allen. But they chose not to, right?
And they could have had Russell Wilson.
There's a lot of players like that. Yeah. I mean, that happens, you know, a lot of times. And the Raiders, they had two first rounders. They could have packaged that up and traded up and drafted Justin Herbert. But I don't know. I mean, it's daunting, that's for sure. I mean, I think the Chiefs have issues, though, not only defensively, but offensively. I think Patrick Mahomes is trying to do too much now. They don't have a running game. So they're vulnerable. I think there's opportunity. There really is for the Raiders. Derek Carr has risen them to another level early on. There's a ton of adversity in front of him right now, but if he can get back on track, I mean, he could become the best quarterback in this division. But yeah, you're right. I mean, Justin Herbert is incredible, and he's just getting started right now.
Both teams started 3-0. Both teams are on a 2-game losing streak. Does the loser of this game start circling the drain?
I think the Raiders would have two divisional losses, and in this competitive division, that's tough. I mean, you're trying to win the division or at least get a wild card. Now, the saving grace for the Raiders, you know, the first three wins have been against AFC opponents, and that's helpful for tiebreakers. But you're I guess getting into dangerous territory though. If you lose three in a row and you're early on in October and you still got tough games in front of you, so now I think the Raiders are going to be desperate. I don't know where the Broncos are, though, in terms of being desperate. I don't even know if Vic Fangio's on a hot seat. But
he will be if they lose.
Right. So there you go. I mean, that's why this game is so vital for both sides.
Okay, you follow betting lines all the time. You're in Vegas. If you had to put money on this game, who are you betting to win?
Well, what's the line now?
Let's go money line. Let's go money line.
Oh, well, I can't do money line. I need points for this one.
Why not?
Because I think like Denver at home. So does Denver – see, Denver doesn't have the home field advantage like they used to. Now, I think they're trying to juice it up with Mike Shanahan and Steve Atwater this weekend. But
Broncos are minus 3.5.
They're minus 3.5?
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't like the hook. I would take the Raiders, to be honest with you. In fact, I would tease the Raiders and get the closest 10 points as I can. I'd get 9.5 points right there.
Man, you sound like a degenerative gambler. I take the teaser. What about that hook? Maybe I might turn it into a three like parlay. My God, you have totally sold out.
Well, it's VSIN.
I don't think you knew any of
this.
That's
the language they talk over on VSIN.
That's right.
But it's so funny hearing you talk like that. Usually we just talk about football, but you're talking about hooks and teasers and parlays and over-unders. It's a riot to me. It's great. But that's the environment you live in.
Believe me, when I was a player and the FBI agents used to walk in the locker room and told us to stay away from casinos and gambling, believe me, this is foreign to me. But I've been able to catch on over the years.
I bet you have. Doing a great job. When can people hear you on VSiN?
I'm on Eastern from 3 to 4. So Pacific, that would be 12 to 1.
Right.
On VSiN or VSiN.com, VSIN.com.
And the local show you do, what's the website? How can people listen to you there? Or maybe download your app.
LV Sports Network is Raider Nation Radio 920. So the LV Sports Network is a digital side that you can access.
Pritch, thanks for your time. We'll talk soon.
You guys take care. Thank you.
See you, man. Yeah. All right, coming up after the break, we've been doing a lot of Pat Shurmur stuff. Well, this is our final segment to talk about Pat Shurmur. Pat Shurmur.
Oh, my gosh. Did you?
Oh, stop that.
He's a very trim man.
Oh, stop that. Anyway, he was asked, does he Google himself? You got to hear this answer. That's next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive, Goodman, Mason. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Hot Tub Outlet. As other hot tub stores in town make you wait 12 weeks, get your new hot tub today at Hot Tub Outlet in Littleton or go to hottuboutletdenver.com.
All right, Mace, Pat Shurmur was asked about being on social media today and reading press clippings about him and the team. Not surprisingly, said, well, he doesn't pay attention to it. Danny, we got that sound? On Shurmur.
Yeah, my apologies. I do have
it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
I don't really. I'm not a very social media savvy guy. I mean, I just don't consume it. I don't see the point in most of it, quite frankly. I mean, I still use a pencil, you know, I really mean that. I think. You know, sometimes, you know, it bothers me to see, and you have to use it for your jobs, but when a group of people get together and nobody's speaking because they're all looking at their phones, I just sort of think there's something wrong with that. I really do.
It's called family dinner.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I I mean, I love her to death, but I really don't even call my wife that much, you know. But when I see her, it's just great, you know. And I just have, it's just never been my thing.
What do you think of that, Mace?
Doesn't surprise me. Pat Shermer doesn't seem like a very high-tech guy.
I think he kind of knows what the media says. I mean,
here's the thing. People who don't know, who say they don't know what the media says, they may not be consuming it every day, but they know. I would say, the one thing I will say is this. I highly doubt that he has managed to go the entire span of Google existing without Googling his name once. Okay? You ever Google yourself?
I have.
I have too. Yeah. I'll admit that. Now, granted, if you Google Andrew Mason, you're going to get a lot of listings about the guy used to run Groupon. Okay.
Oh, is that right?
So I'll Google like Andrew Mason Broncos.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. And yeah, some of the stuff that I've read over the years, vile, terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't read Facebook comments at all, because if I took those things to heart, I'd be suicidal.
Yeah. And what do we have coming up on Masterpiece Roofing, just in case you missed it?
We will discuss tonight's Thursday night football game as Tom Brady heads to Philadelphia to take on the team that beat him back in Super Bowl 52. That's coming up next right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
I've been in the right place, but it must have been wrong.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason, watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us. Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Time now for the final word.
The final word is presented by the McKenzie Law Firm. Don't wait before it's too late. Protect your family by setting up a will, living will, or estate plan with Dan McKenzie at themckenziefirm.com. Just in case you missed it, is presented by Masterpiece Roofing. Find out how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. Call 720-242-6404 or go to MasterpieceRoofing.com today.
Just in case you missed it, the Avalanche started off the season on the right foot yesterday with a win in the season opener at home against the Blackhawks. They won 4-2. Darcy Kemper, a star of the night with 32 saves on 34 shots faced. Takeaways from game one of Colorado's NHL season.
Landeskog got suspended for 2 games.
Yes, he did. That's also true.
That's a big takeaway. But, boy, Bo Byram looked great. Mm-hmm. Kemper looked great. I'm thinking Jack Johnson, the singer? Really? The guy's been around forever.
I think it was Ryan Green of CBS4 said, hey, you know, Johnson & Johnson.
There you go.
Got the shot, basically.
They did.
The shots, as it were. But
right.
It's one game. It's kind of like we say at the start of baseball season.
Right.
You don't want to make too much of one game. The Blackhawks are a fringe team, as it were, at least in the NHL calculus this year. But they were as advertised, and Kemper made some nice saves as well, so that's something you wanted to see. And just nice to see also the first full house for the Avalanche in, 19 months, basically, because of COVID. So that was really awesome.
Just in case you missed it, the Nuggets are 0-4 in the preseason. They've got another game tonight against the Thunder. Lakers are 0-5, so maybe it's not that big a deal that they're 0-4, but the regular season starts next week, and this team needs to kind of get on the same page. Is there any momentum going into the regular season after an undefeated preseason like we saw the Broncos have this year? And on the other hand, is there motivation from a winless preseason?
The problem to me is not being winless. The problem is they're injured. A lot of these guys are banged up, and you're thinking, already?
Yeah.
They're already banged up.
By the way, it was a limited preseason last year, but both the teams in the NBA Finals last year had winless preseasons to give you kind of an illumination to whether the win-loss total means anything in the preseason in the NBA. It does not.
Just in case you missed it, tonight's Thursday night football game will be between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Philadelphia Eagles. Jalen Hurts is one of three quarterbacks who leads his team in rushing. You guys know the other two?
Lamar Jackson.
That's the easy one.
Yeah, and okay. Other quarterback who could be leading his team in rushing. Trey Lance?
It's actually Daniel Jones. He is just yards ahead of Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
How do you see tonight's game going between the Buccaneers and the Eagles?
Philadelphia was kind of feisty with the Chiefs a couple weeks back, losing, but putting together a spirited effort, losing 42-30. I don't think it'll go like that, partly because the Bucs defense is better than that of Kansas City. Tampa Bay will win. They'll win comfortably. I don't think it's going to be a massacre. I think it'll probably be something on the lines of like 34-20, something like that. Philadelphia will make some plays, stay in it.
Right.
It's going to be an energized crowd there. Now, that being said, if you're Philadelphia, they're going to be jacked up, and I think they're going to come out and punch the Bucs in the mouth a little bit early on in the game before the Bucs pull away. But by the way, Tom Brady, historically, not very good on Thursday nights. That's an interesting thing about this.
Nothing to add? Okay.
Nothing. I got nothing.
All right. Just in case you missed it, as the NBA's 75th season draws near, Sports Illustrated published 75 years of NBA coulda-beens, including things like what if Jerry Colangelo had called tails and the Suns had drafted Lou Alcindor instead of the Bucks? What if OKC prioritized James Harden's playing time over Russell Westbrook's? And what if Derrick Rose never tore his ACL? What are some of the biggest what-ifs in Denver sports?
Well, can I throw a Chicago one in there? Because this has always been a what-if. What if the Chicago Bulls won a coin flip going into the 1980 draft and took Magic Johnson instead of David Greenwood, who was a terrific player at UCLA? And I'll tell you what would have happened. You know what would have happened?
Michael Jordan would not have become a Bull.
No, he would not have.
Because Magic Johnson would have been carrying the Bulls probably to at least a couple of titles.
What if?
Yes.
What if, for the sake of argument, the Seattle Sonics decide not to make a draft day trade for the rights to pick Scottie Pippen, and instead they had Olden Polonese? But looking at the Nuggets specifically, what if David Thompson doesn't have the personal problems that he had?
That's it. And it actually started with him tearing his ACL.
Yep.
And everything spiraled downhill from there. It's fair to assume, maybe not assume, but I think it's fair to expect that if he had stayed healthy with the core that was around him, the Nuggets may at least have made the finals once. They never even made the NBA finals, of course. They may have at least made the finals, if not won at all, at some point in the late 70s to the early 1980s. Other Denver sports what-ifs. Wow. Well, this is a bad what-if. What if Edgar Kaiser can't make the trade for John Elway? What if the Colts were a functional organization and Ernie Accorsi, the GM, had made the trade, which would have forced the Broncos to give up a lot more? Or maybe they don't get John Elway at all. I mean, that is the fork in the road moment for the Broncos.
What if
maybe
Terrell Denver's Davis never gets injured?
Yeah.
Right?
Do the Broncos get another Super Bowl in the early 2000s?
What if we were all wrong about Tim Tebow as a quarterback?
What if the Broncos had not been hung up on height and had taken Russell Wilson instead of Brock Osweiler?
I'll give you another.
That's the most relevant what if right now for the Broncos.
No. What? Which one is?
If they'd had right Russell now. Wilson, yes.
What if Peyton Manning doesn't come here? John Elway.
That's the second time that's come up in this show.
Right.
John Elway probably is a failure as general manager.
There's no doubt.
And people in this town think differently of him because he would have failed as GM.
Yep.
Just in case you missed it, the St. Louis Cardinals moved on from manager Mike Schilt today after failing to beat the Dodgers in the wild card game and ending their season there. Now, looking at the Colorado Rockies, Bud Black has been with this team for a while and not much success, but is the organization just saying that are they admitting they're at fault by leaving Bud Black in the driver's seat while they continue to put a team out there that cannot compete for a postseason?
Ask the question again. I was a little confused. Please.
Is the organization, in a way, telling on themselves by allowing Bud Black to continue coaching, saying that they are not putting a team around him or a team under him that can win in the postseason make it to the postseason?
If I'm Bud Black, listen, Bud Black doesn't live here full-time. He lives full-time in San Diego. That is his home. He has a home here. I don't even know if his family's here, or at least full-time. If I'm Bud Black and I have another opportunity, I leave if I still want to manage.
Well, the Padres have an opening right now, right?
They do.
You
got to let them out.
You'd have to let them out of the contract. The Rockies wouldn't, but I'm just saying, like, if you're the Padres, don't you at least place a phone call? You had a fair amount of success with Bud Black
as
your manager.
There's no way Dick Monfort's going to let him walk.
Okay. Yeah.
No way.
But the other, to kind of go with the Cardinals as well, like, I mean, it kind of came out of nowhere, but you hear the phrase philosophical differences. Evidently, Schilt is not analytically minded. The Cardinals want to go in a more analytic-based direction for their field manager. I'm fascinated to see what this does, because there's a Cardinal way that we know about that's been successful, and this kind of goes against that.
Yeah. That was Masterpiece Roofing, just in case you missed it. What they really do well, besides doing great work, is they go after your insurance company to make sure that everything is paid for. A buddy of mine had over $20,000 worth of damage. John from Masterpiece Roofing went out there, and my buddy believes that all he's going to have to pay is that deductible, which is a huge deal. Masterpiece Roofing recently voted Denver's best roofing company, and that is one reason why. Go to MasterpieceRoofing.com. That's going to do it for us. Alex and Danny, great job today. Same with you, Mace.
You too.
Make it the best possible night you can. I hope that someone